snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, May 1st, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is. We'll talk about some of that. We've gone through some of the facts. I'm going to try to wire some stuff together today, and hopefully we can make some sense of some things and maybe do something good as a result. Be informed. It's time for us to band together and to set aside our petty differences and so forth. There are nefarious interests at work in our midst. You know it. I know it. There's all kinds of interesting stuff. So just, where is that? A few little bits. Recent bits. Let's see, as we go through some of the highlights. I think it's interesting. This issue of finance comes up over and over again. And something that I want to mention, I think we'll talk about Bill Gates a little bit today. But when you start talking about Bill Gates, one of the things that the Alinskyite crowd has done really well, you know, the rules for radicals, one of the rules is to freeze a talking point. And two things. When it comes to the subject of Bill Gates and this ostensible philanthropy, I would ask folks, have you investigated? Is it interesting that, for instance, the Gates Foundation is also an investment vehicle that allows the foundation to make additional obscene amounts of money tax-free? Doesn't that seem criminal? Because if you can do that, then why can't all of us do that? And isn't it sort of a conflict of interest if the Gates Foundation is telling the world that it needs to reduce its carbon footprint while the Gates Foundation invests in some of the worst polluters on the planet? If we're so concerned about health and children's health and people's health and so on, why invest in companies that are continually embroiled in class action lawsuits for injuring and killing people? Companies like Johnson & Johnson, companies like GlaxoSmithKline, Moderna, and so on, that are constantly embroiled in scandal. Johnson & Johnson, tens of thousands of lawsuits. How have we gotten to a point in society where someone can be considered a philanthropist who has a little kitty that grows tax-deferred, or excuse me, not tax-deferred, it's tax-exempt, essentially, is what it amounts to, by investing in things that are contrary to the stated mission of said foundation? Doesn't that strike you as ironic? Conflict of interest? And then there are the deeper issues, of course. But I think I would ask, you know, how many people have gone and looked, for example, at one tax return for the Gates Foundation? I understand philanthropy is a wonderful thing. Absolutely, I completely agree. Charity in the King James vernacular is a wonderful thing. But man is not perfect. And we shouldn't let our own greed cloud our better judgment. Because what if someone could take advantage of that? What if someone could take advantage of the fact that, you know, maybe I could be beguiled maybe not see things quite the way they are. So I would ask folks to investigate. Have you investigated? Would you find it a conflict of interest if Bill Gates is running around telling us we have to be this vaccine thing, this pandemic thing, you know, maybe when the people learn to trust the technocrats to handle the pandemic, so-called, alleged, then they'll learn to trust technocrats on the the issue of climate change. And by the way, again, I'm a stuck record, I know, but when it comes to climate change, people need to go read. Just go look up the Club of Rome and read up on the limits to growth. Read up on the first global revolution. And you will find that one of the strategic methods adopted by the group that Carol Quigley wrote about, you know, the book description on Amazon, what is it? The Anglo-American Establishment. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. Excuse me. And the short version is Bill Gates is sort of he represents the continuation of these efforts. Out in front. So Arnold J. Toynbee was an intellectual, academic, Bernaysian counterpart, you might say. Edward Bernays was the guy who fused Uncle Sigmund Freud's works, The Will to Pleasure, together with Madison Avenue to create this, you know, what Stephen Covey coined at the turn of the 20th century in the Western world, the shift from the character ethic. We understood the difference, the marked difference and distinction between wants and needs. From the character ethic to the personality ethic, that transition. And so the lines between want and need were blurred using Freudian pleasure principle tactics and techniques by Bernays and his contemporaries. And so that's where we got the blurring of the line. I need it. No, it's a want. You will survive without it. And you know, that's why we've gotten confused about things that we think are rights that are not, and so forth. Anyway, Toynbee was an academic version of Bernays, so to speak, how to sell people on ideas. You might say where Bernays wrote in Propaganda, published in 1928, that in Chapter 3, new, what did he say? New activities call for new nomenclature. The propagandist who specializes in interpreting enterprises and ideas to the public and in interpreting the public to the promulgators of new Enterprises and Ideas has come to be known by the name of Public Relations Council. And by the way, this was shortly after the creation of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs on the other side of the pond, speaking of Toynbee and friends. So Toynbee was kind of the, you know, higher up the food chain version of this. You have to have the erudite folks interpreting these ideas from Enterprise, from behind the wizard's curtain, and then those ideas get handed off to guys like Bernays, where Madison Avenue smiths the marketing campaigns, and then suddenly we get these slogans that are two-word or three-word slogans that are so ambiguous, like, what do they even mean these days? You know, hashtag apart together, that kind of stuff. So, Toynbee came up with this method of smithing these sound bites. And so they would start these clubs, and then they would try to come up with great arguments for these things they wanted to accomplish, and then they would get back together and compare notes, so to speak. Basically have a debate, sort of a debate club, these dinner clubs and things that they had, comparing notes and ideas to try to come up with the best way to con the public, really. What it sort of boils down to. And among these discussions, you know, and it all of these discussions really sort of center around getting rid of the undesirables, exterminating the undesirable contingent of society. And these folks in these clubs, you know, like the Fabian Society was an essential part of this and a component, especially at this time around the turn of the 20th century, of advancing these ideas. George Bernard Shaw, for those who don't know, you can go look and listen to him say, you know, look him up on YouTube. Hear him saying in his own words, you know, if you can't justify your existence, then we will exterminate you in a kindly enough manner. So that was always part of the talking points. Those who will not throw their shoulder behind the wheel of our great mechanism of society, we'll just exterminate them. They think of those people who won't throw their shoulder behind whatever great endeavor or great work they're up to as useless eaters. So, along the way, they figured out that we always need a common enemy to unite us. This is a very dangerous thing. Many people have written about it. Friedrich Hayek is one of the most notable in my mind. Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. Bad guys are notorious for uniting, welding together a group of people along some common enemy, some bad agenda instead of a good thing. It's very effective. And so Toynbee and his buddies in these kindergarten groups and roundtable groups and so forth realized this is a very effective method. And so they came up with a common enemy for all of mankind. What is the common enemy? I'll mention that. We'll move on when we come back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. We got to move on, so got to move quickly. So, Toynbee came up with this method of smithing talking points. Along the way, they figured out that we need a common enemy. It's been a variety of things. It's not a new thing. It's not a new concept. For a while, it was Osama bin Laden. Remember? It was Al-Qaeda, which... literally the CIA created, and Brzezinski admitted to, won't get into the details of that. Those who don't know, look up Operation Cyclone. And if you're old enough to recall, go, I guess, watch Bill Moyer's coverage of the Iran-Contra hearings. I forget, what is the title of that thing that he did? That was a pretty good piece, right? Secret Government. The Constitution in Crisis was the title of the Bill Moyers. I know people say, you know, but don't you know? Yes, I know. It's a primer. I know about Bill Moyers. It's fine. But it's a primer. It's an entry point. Anyway, common enemy to unite us. Well, the Club of Rome, and I'm speaking about climate change because, you know, Bill Gates and friends are saying that if we can get people to trust technocrats, those who, you know the data and so forth, the experts on this pandemic issue, then, you know, hopefully people will trust the technocrats. and just listen to the technocrats. You don't need to vote for anybody anymore. Just listen to the technocrats. Then maybe they'll listen to us on this climate change issue. And so, seeking to find some common enemy that could unite us all, and considering the publications that I mentioned, The Limits to Growth by the Club of Rome, and that grew into a book titled The First Global Revolution. From that, the Club of Rome came up with this idea. It would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary, to organize and act together. In the vacuum, such motivations seem to have ceased to exist. Yeah, if there isn't a common enemy driving the herd, sheep just stand around and look at flashy things. They need something to move them. They need a movement. The need for enemies seem to be a common historical factor. States have striven to overcome domestic failure and internal contradiction. By the way, this also ties back to the fact that I've encouraged folks to read Machiavelli up to this point, to understand that sometimes sinister ne'er-do-wells try to nudge people in a direction by fomenting certain things. The scapegoat practice is as old as mankind itself. Just ask Jeffrey Epstein. When things become too difficult at home, divert attention by adventure abroad. Again, this is from the Club of Rome's First Global Revolution. First Global Revolution. Bring the divided nation together to face an outside enemy, either a real one or else an invented one for the purpose. Again, that's a Machiavellian concept. With the disappearance of the traditional enemy, the temptation is to designate as scapegoat religious or ethnic minorities, Al-Qaeda, whose differences are disturbing. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, because, bad guys are buying up all of the riparian rights around the globe. I've mentioned how they're so concerned with the crown of the continent and a watershed that directs water in three different directions. The largest watershed on the North American continent, and things like that. Very concerned about these things. They want to drive people away from those things and own them for themselves so that they can use this idea of pollution, the threat of global warming. Remember, for those of us who are old enough, remember back in the 70s when we used to hear about all of this pollution and things. Suddenly we just started hearing that the earth was polluted. Well, that was when the Club of Rome was starting to talk about this. It's a very powerful, influential group. Pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. That's the new common enemy to unite us all. The real enemy, then, they said, is humanity itself. The fundamental need is to reduce carbon dioxide emission. This is something they wrote about back in the 70s. So man is the new enemy. Skipping forward, Lionel Curtis, who was one of the insiders in the Rhodes-Milner Roundtable group, speaking of Cecil Rhodes, pointed out that the League of Nations could be a world government only if it represented peoples and not states, and if it had the power to tax those peoples. It should simply be an interstate conference of the world. And the League of Nations, as we know, failed, but the UN, the un-everything we have now. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I would say, let me just preface real quick. Again, J. Edgar Hoover, the legendary leader of the FBI, as he wrote back in 1956, August, in Elks Magazine, the first thing you need to understand, most people who are not, I don't know, familiar with what's actually happening, is not to be handicapped by your own prejudice, your own cognitive bias, your own cognitive dissonance. Don't allow that to handicap your perception and your ability to investigate what's actually happening. Try to reserve your judgment and your perception to what facts you can gather. And by facts, you know, obviously when you're reading things, that's someone's assessment or interpretation of things. When you're listening to things like this, for example, try to listen with a discerning ear, watch with a discerning eye, and so forth. That was what we were encouraged and exhorted to do, admonished to do. Not just in the Bible, you know, Jesus saying, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, but also by folks like Andrew Jackson, you know, in his farewell address in 1837, who encouraged us to maintain eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing, he said. It's also interesting the specific context that was the backdrop of that remark. But continuing, so J. Edgar Hoover, you know, just because you're staring in the face of a monstrous conspiracy doesn't mean that it's not real. And a conspiracy is simply, it's a term that has been weaponized and villainized by certain interests, specifically to divert your attention away from efforts to do you harm. So like J. Edgar Hoover wrote, the menace in this country will remain a menace until the American people make themselves aware of its techniques. No one who truly understands what it really is can be taken in by it, yet the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. And so once you kind of get your mind around that, then you can start to examine things in a more objective sort of fashion. So to conclude the point about climate change, again, you know, there are folks who are saying if we can get the people to trust technocrats with this pandemic issue, that's not a pandemic, it's not. The experts, which does not include Bill Gates because he is a college dropout, that's just a fact, and he's not a doctor, he's not an epidemiologist, but the experts, there's a growing body of experts, though they're not paraded on CNN like these other folks that all kind of come out of the same pool of folks, particularly from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, Bloomberg School of Medicine, and so forth, that are advancing this narrative. There's a growing group of experts who don't fall in line with those folks who are saying this doesn't make any sense. Something is desperately wrong here. But the folks leading the charge, including Bill Gates, on this narrative, have expressed the sentiment that if they can get you and I and the general public to trust the technocrats, them, deciders, with this issue, then maybe they'll trust us with this climate change issue. And I'm saying climate change is not the issue that it's been cooked up to be by the Club of Rome and subsequent folks who push that narrative. It is a weaponized talking point to unite humanity essentially against itself. And speaking of that, the last thing I'll say is that's what Marxism was always intended to be. Nesta Webster wrote about that in World Revolution. And speaking of that, just to kind of back out to the high point, and hopefully that makes sense. Again, if you're not familiar, go look up The Limits to Growth. You can find Wikipedia entry, you know, The Limits to Growth. You can find it on the Club of Rome's website, The Limits to Growth, published back in 1972. Little report that grew into, I think Yeah. So the Wikipedia entry says the Limits to Growth, LTG, is a 1972 report on the computer simulation of exponential economic and population growth with a finite supply of resources. The supply of resources becomes more finite when you start interfering and whittling things down. And it helps if you can gain centralized control of the means of production of things like food and so forth. And so the Limits to Growth, again, grew into this concept known as the First Global Revolution, which, again, you can find a Wikipedia entry on, even. And that was published in 1991 as a book. But this concept is older, and just to touch on that before I continue on, speaking of the First Global Revolution, this revolutionary movement, you know, this there are threads of it all over. I mentioned Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, you know, the Weather Underground, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. Some folks are familiar with that, and this is not to disparage anyone. It's just to point out, you know, when guys like Saul Alinsky dedicate their book to the first radical, Lucifer, it's what they say. It's not what I say. So the Club of Rome did cook up these, the report, The Limits to Growth, and the book, The First Global Revolution, saying that the threat of global warming is a common enemy, and that man is the ultimate enemy in that threat, because he breathes, he has a carbon footprint, therefore, you know, we should get rid of him. That's really what you come down to when you listen, for example, to Bill Gates, what was it, 2010 TED Talk, innovating to zero exclamation mark. One of these numbers in this equation has to get down pretty low to near zero, he said. And the first number in the equation is represented by a P for population or people. Again, that's not what I say. That's what he said. And he starts with that number. So the First Global Revolution and this revolutionary movement has been at work for quite some time. And today, May 1st, May Day, is a very significant day for the esoteric revolutionary intriguers. As the story goes, on this day, back in 1776, and you'll find hints of this throughout history, but on this day in 1776, as the story goes, Adam Weishaupt, in cooperation with his pal, former rabbinical student who changed his name, Weishaupt was a Jesuit priest defector at the University of Ingolstadt, and he joined forces with a fellow who was a former rabbinical student, and who ended up changing his name to his father's money changing business, the money changing house. Rothschild, Mayram Schell Bauer, changed his name to Rothschild, Red Sign. And so together in cooperation, they launched this reinvigorated plan to conquer the world, which isn't an age-old plan. I would say dates back to notable episodes like Genesis chapter 11, Genesis chapter 6, and I think that's where they're headed back in their revolutionary efforts. But that's a different story. So the reinvigorated plan to conquer the world and establish a Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new order of the ages. You can look up a thing called the World Revolutionary Movement if you're interested. 100 years ago, it was something that a lot of folks wrote about. And, you know, into around the turn of the 20th century into about the middle of the 20th century, World Revolutionary Movement, WRM, was a fairly common term. Again, folks like Nesta Webster wrote about it, William Guy Carr, and many others. You know, this plan that's been around for a while. There are the bad guys that have written about it. You know, Manly P. Hall wrote his book, The Secret Destiny of America. and those kinds of things. So this is not a new concept, but this is an important day, an important time for esoteric ne'er-do-wells who have this idea that, you know, they can establish this new order. That's not really a new order. It's, again, trying to go back to the Genesis 11, Genesis 6 kind of situation. And you can look that up and perhaps see the corollaries in the efforts in Genesis 11, for example, to weld together all of mankind with the same language in common cause. You know, you can kind of see the evidence or the infrastructure for a one world kind of system there. And it's also interesting that, you know, you have a group of folks who create bricks and mortar and build these great things and want to leave it, you know, they want to create for themselves a name that is enduring throughout the ages. Who has done that? There's interesting. And then with all of the, you know, we had the term eugenics created by Francis Galton, who was Charles Darwin's cousin. And eugenics is a sort of divine right of kings for these people. You know, we're shrewd, we're cunning, we're clever, we do things, we make obscene fortunes, and therefore we're better than all of these useless eaters who won't throw their shoulder behind the wheel to support our great work. So we should exterminate those useless eaters, kind of how they think. So eugenics is that sort of divine right of kings in their mind, among other things. And now, as Francis Fukuyama told us in Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, genetic engineering is the new kinder, gentler eugenics. And so you can see evidence in Genesis chapter 6, I believe, of that kind of stuff. If you look into it, and I'll just leave it at that, we'll get into it. So this new order that guys like Henry Kissinger talk about, that George Bush talked about, that all these guys have talked about, and you can find hundreds of examples, particularly throughout the 20th century, of this New World Order phrase being used particularly by government and world leaders, which is very peculiar. I think that is actually the old order that they're talking about. But, you know, that's what you do when you're a bad guy. You couch things in deceptive, esoteric language. Real quick in this segment before we continue on, I wanted to mention there was another example. And which one is it? It's who just did another thing recently? It was I want to say it was Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security that just gamed another scenario. But not to be outdone, University of Chicago just did their thing, COVID 2025, How the Pandemic is Changing Our World. It's a video series. Video series explores impacts of coronavirus from healthcare to international relations. Because that's important, international relations. Changing the rules of international relations, changing the face of healthcare. How an explosion in remote learning changes education. These are some of the fun topics explored in the series from the producers of the Big Brains podcast, which provide new insights, they say, and understandings into the COVID-19 pandemic and the long-term impacts. And so my point is, like I have been saying, again, you know, this makes me think of all of the remarks that these people have made, including especially the insight that, you know, we just played the clip of Hillary Clinton and her little talk with Joe Biden. We played that clip yesterday, and this, you know, opportunities of crisis soundbite that they all use. And I would recall to your attention Angus Bergen in that SNF Agora Institute discussion, and SNF is doing some interesting things too in all of this. That, like he said, you know, these the moderator of that Imagining a New Moral Economy talk, Hari Hahn, said, "So, you know, you got crisis, you got opportunity, two sides of the same coin. What conditions like economic crises and other society crises lead into a different imagining of a socioeconomic structure?" And Angus Bergen said, "I would like to emphasize it is a misnomer to think that crises lead to reimagining." He said the work to do the reimagining needs to happen before a crisis takes place. And that's what these guys think. And that's why University of Chicago is already working on COVID 2025. We'll be right back.
Processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Welcome back.
When I'm not around.
Oh, maybe we can play that. I don't know. We'll see. A couple other things real quick. COVID 2025. Can you believe that? See, I just don't understand how, if this is such a massive crisis, and what was the other one? I got to remember the other one that they just put out, because they keep gaming these scenarios, which to me is disingenuous. It lets you know what's really going on, because we're not learning as we go. We're gaming the next one. COVID 2025, our world in the next 5 years, that's literally the title of the video series from University of Chicago. Why? Why would you do that? Doesn't that sound irresponsible? It does to me. And so, you know, again, the point is you have the opportunities of crisis, which, you know, again, I wrote about last month, opportunities of crisis, and that, you know, phrase that John F. Kennedy used that seems to be kind of a big touchstone, you know, when he said, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger and one represents opportunity. And he said, the danger signs are all around us. So there have been many examples, and in what I wrote, I explained how, you know, some people just conveniently don't mind letting things accidentally happen so that what they want to accomplish can become a natural result. They'll sometimes even sort of encourage bad things to happen, because that way we can implement our plans. And, you know, that's what it's all about, planning. Because if you have a crisis, then obviously you can get people thinking in a very illogical sort of way. They'll do whatever. My house is on fire. You know, well, give me all your money and I'll put the fire out. Well, here's all my money. Just put the fire out. But the planners, they tell you, you know, the planning starts long before the crisis. Maybe we'll play that clip when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting for survival. We've got to be.
How do you grill a good?
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.